are grateful to God for this evening. All over the world, you are welcome to tonight's session. I believe that God has a word for somebody. I believe that God will speak to us and your lives will never be the same again. If you are excited about what God is about to do, give the Lord a mighty clap wherever you are and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Tonight, I'm speaking to you on what I've entitled The Potency of the Prophetic. The Potency of the Prophetic. The Potency of the Prophetic. So I'm going to take you through some series of subtopics, and I believe that by the time we are done, my God, God will visit you and your life will never be the same. There is a long passage of scripture that I want us to look into or begin to read. And then after that, we'll get going. So we are picking our maiden, you know, reading from the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1 to 10. And so kindly follow me as I read from the New International Version of the Holy Bible. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. I'm speaking to you on the potency of the prophetic. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians, the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So we see in this passage of scripture, a man who once had murdered someone, and God decided to choose this man, anoint this man, empower this man, and release this man to go out there and become a deliverer. If somebody ever said a murderer can be used by God, I would have doubted. If somebody ever said that a sinner and a murderer like Moses could be used by God as a prophet, could be used by God as a deliverer of the people of Israel, I would have doubted. I would have asked questions. I would have made references. In fact, I would have reminded the person, have you forgotten the background of Moses? Have you forgotten what Moses used to do and the kind of things that he has gone through? Why did you not choose any other person, but you decided to choose such a person? Ladies and gentlemen, under the sound of my voice, I am here to announce to you that God can use anybody, irrespective of your background, irrespective of the family you come from, irrespective of your academic qualification, irrespective of whether you are rich or not, your financial status, your economic status, God can choose to use anybody that he so wishes. And God will not refer to your background. God will not refer to your past and decide to use you or not. When God decides to use a man, he does not consult another man. When God decides to use people, he does not consult people for their opinion. If God will do this, then some of us, we will not be even considered, because the kind of things we may have done and the kind of things we may have gone through, we would have been disqualified. But God chooses the foolish things of the world and uses them to confound the wise. That is why if God wants to give you that glorious marriage, God wants to bless you financially, God will not seek the opinion of your uncle and your grandfather and your grandmother and your auntie and somebody else. But God will make a decision out of his mercies and out of his love and decide to bless you. I am here to tell somebody tonight that wherever you are, there is a decision God has made about you. But God will not take the opinion of men before he honors his word. For whatever God has said about you, he does not need the opinion of any other person, but whatever he has said, he will surely do it. He will surely do it. So if you look at this passage of scripture, Moses did not qualify when it comes to the affairs of humanity. When it comes to the natural, Moses did not have what it takes to even be a deliverer. But when God was looking for a man, God said, I love Moses. I know Moses. I know he has done some things in the past. But hey, I am not going to count this against him. I am still going to anoint him and use him. Some of you listening to me, you may have done things in the past, but you are still, you are still looking down on yourself and you are still saying that you are not qualified. I'm here to tell you, the Lord said I should tell you, stop looking down on yourself. Stop fighting yourself with your past. If you can let your past go and look into the future and look at what God has for you, you will smile and you realize that God is a good God. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Somebody said the potency of the prophetic. So after looking at this, you see, God, as I was looking into the scripture, the Lord gave me three things. God started speaking to me about the desires he has, for people. And there are three desires of God. Number one, God desires to speak to his children. God desires to speak to his children. Number two, God desires that everyone can hear him speak. God desires that everybody can hear him speak. That is the desire of God. And number three, God desires that everyone will get to know what he is about to do in their lives. That is the desire of God. God desires that everybody will get to know what he is about to do in their lives. So it is the will of God that he speaks to his children. You see, some people think that God speaks to prophets alone. That is not true. God's heart desire is that he wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to his children. And God desires that everyone can actually hear him. And God also desires that everybody will get to know what he is about to do in their lives, in the future. God does not want to hide things from you. His plan and will is that he will reveal what he is about to do concerning your life to you. This is why in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15, when you read 1 Samuel chapter 9, there was a young man by the name Saul. The father was called Kish. Now, the donkeys of Kish were missing. And the father sent the son Saul with a servant to go and look for the missing donkeys. Whilst they stepped out to begin the journey, they went round, looked round, and walked round, and they could not find the missing donkey. So now there was a discussion, and the discussion was that, is there not any man of God, any prophet of God around this place whom we can go and make inquiry and begin to ask whether they can help us find the missing donkeys? This means that every prophet of God has been given an ability to locate missing things. Every prophet of God has been given the power to begin to recover what has been missing. And so tonight, under this atmosphere, I want to declare that anything that belongs to you that is already missing, by your presence in this meeting, you shall discover, you Amen. Shall recover, Amen. You shall find missing things. Amen. Whatever is missing, even human beings that are missing, you shall locate them Amen. In this meeting. Amen. So the missing donkeys could not be found. And Saul was looking around, searching for the donkey. But one thing that Saul did not know is that Saul didn't know that he himself was the missing king of Israel. So the missing king was going around searching for the missing donkey. The missing king was going around searching for the missing donkey. He did not know that he was the missing king, that God had prepared a great future for him. And the great future was that one day he was going to be anointed before all the people, and then he would be enthroned. He would be established as the king of Israel. He didn't know. But God's desire is that everybody will get to know what he's about to do in their lives. That is the will of God. So it took Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15, the Bible said, now the day before Saul even came to Samuel, the Lord revealed to Samuel that about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me. So immediately Prophet Samuel saw the man Saul. The Bible said the Lord spoke to him and said, this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people. Oh my God. Oh my God. And so before Saul came to Samuel, God had already spoken to Samuel about what he's about to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you everything concerning your life, your children, your marriage, your business, your ministry. God's desire is to tell you about it before even it happens. Amen. God's desire is that he will let you even know the name of your wife, your future wife, the name of your child. It is something that God is a master of. He's a master of making known unto people what he's about to do in their lives. And so tonight, I am here by the word of the Lord. There is something ahead of you. By the grace of God, you will see it. There is something God is about to do in your life. God will give you the eyes to see it, Amen. The ears to hear it, Amen. The spirit to know it. Amen. It will not take you by surprise. Amen. Oh, am I talking to somebody? Yes, am I talking to somebody? Yes, my God. So Saul did not know that God was about to lift him up as a king. So it was an access to the voice of God that made Paul become great, Saul become great. It was access to the voice of God that made Saul position himself for greatness. So now when Samuel told him that you are going to become the king of Israel, now Saul positioned himself because he knew that he was not going to become a royal person. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes,
if you look into the Bible, everybody that matters in the Bible was somebody that had access to the voice of God. Anybody, mention names, anybody that matters in the Bible had access to the voice of God. Anybody in scripture that made news had access to the voice of God. If you want to make news, then one of the things I recommend to you is to have access to the voice of God. If you want to matter in your generation, if you want to matter in your family, then If you want to matter in that industry, have access to the voice of God. Everyone in the Holy Bible that mattered, anyone that was a man of influence, anybody that made news, all of them, when you go down and search their life, you realize that each and every one of them had access to the voice of God. Talk about Abraham. Abraham was negotiating with God all the time. Abraham was the first person God spoke to and referred to as a prophet. Abraham was somebody who was always romancing God. He was always in the presence of God. God spoke to Moses, Abraham, several times, things that he was about to do concerning his descendants. So Abraham had access to the voice of God. Talk about Moses. Moses was always interacting with God. If you read Exodus chapter 6 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 7 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 8 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 9 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 10 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 11 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 12 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 13 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 14 verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses. So God was always in touch with Moses. Moses was always in touch with God. This is the reason why Moses could command the rod at the sea, and the sea will part into two, because he was in touch with the voice of God. This is the reason why Moses could go before Pharaoh and he could command, you know, how do you call it, stones to fall, hailstorms and things like that to fall from the sky. This was why Moses could appear before Pharaoh and frogs will appear, water would turn into blood, and the firstborns of the Egyptians would die. Why? Because the man commanded power. Anybody that has access to the voice of God commands power. Anybody that has access to the voice of God commands miracles, signs, and wonders. So, talk about people who made news like Moses, who became a deliverer, a mighty prophet of the land of Israel. He was somebody that had access to the voice of God. Am I talking to somebody? Talk about Elijah. Elijah. Elijah had access to the voice of God. Talk about Elisha. Elisha had access to the voice of God. In fact, the king of Syria will plan war against the Israelites. But somewhere, somehow, the prophet Elisha will get to know about it, and he will tell the king, "Oh, king, be careful in such and such a place, for your enemies, the king of Syria, has plotted war against you. So be careful." And it was not once, it was not twice. And the king of Syria said, "Who amongst us is against us? Why is it that anytime we plot in our bedroom, somebody leaves us and leaks the information to the Israelites?" And one of them said, "Sir, there is no leakage. There is no spy among us, but there is a prophet in Israel. His name is called Elijah. Anytime you devise in your boardroom, in your bedchamber, that man has the ability to have access to the voice of God. He has ability to know even the things you discuss with your wife in your bedroom." So we are very sure that the man Elijah is the one who has the leakage. He is the one who has the leakage by the Spirit. It is none of us. Oh my God, I declare over somebody, beginning from today, God is releasing the leakage anointing. Whatever leakage you must hear, any information that must be released even to you, the Lord shall release it tonight. Amen. I said the Lord shall release it tonight. Amen. So anybody in the Bible that made news was somebody that had access to the voice of God. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes, sir.
Am I talking to somebody?
Yes, sir.
Anybody that made use had access to the voice of God. If you want to matter, then you must have access to his voice. If you want to make news, the secret is to have access to the voice of God. So you see, when God speaks, what does it mean? When God speaks, what does it mean when we say God is speaking? You see, whenever we say God has spoken or God is speaking, It means that God has spoken through the teachings of his word. So anytime God speaks through the teachings of his word, God has spoken. So if you want to have access to the voice of God is manifested in the teachings of his word. So anytime you sit under the teachings of any man of God, a genuine teachings, sound doctrine, you are hearing the voice of God. So when God speaks through the teachings of his word. God speaks through the word of prophecy. God speaks through the word of prophecy. You see, before I go to prophecy, I want you to understand the word of God is actually the voice of God. Anybody who wants to hear a prophecy without reading the word of God, you are missing a lot. Anybody that wants to just hear something in your ears without devoting yourself to the teachings of the word, you are missing a lot. The word of God is the voice of God. Anytime you are sick, remember that the voice of God has spoken, that by his stripes we are healed. That is the voice of God. Anytime you realize that there is no help for you, remember the word of God, the teachings of the word, which says that I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help will come from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Anytime you have a dream and in the dream you are dead, remember the voice of God has spoken through his word, that I shall not die, but I will live to declare the works of God. Remember, he said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Anytime you are going through fire and you are going through waters, remember God has spoken in the teachings of his word that when you walk through the fire, I shall be with you. When you walk through the rivers, it shall not overtake you, for I am with you. I am with you. So the teachings of the word of God, if you are a student of the word of God, you have access to the voice of God. Any Christian who does not love the Bible, who does not love to read the word, is somebody that is denying himself or herself of the voice of God. So if you want to have the genuine voice of God, be a lover of the word. Be a lover of the word. I will come to that. So when we say God is speaking, we mean that God is speaking through the teachings of his word. We also mean that God is speaking through the word of prophecy. So, and we also mean, number three, God speaks through the inner witness. God speaks through the inner witness. There is something in you that anytime you are about to make a decision, something inner, it is called the inner witness. The inner witness will say, don't do it. Sometimes it will say, do it. That is what we call the inner witness. The inner witness is one of the channels through which God speaks. Now, God speaks through dreams and visions. God will speak to you in a dream. God will speak to you in a vision. Sometimes people take their dreams for granted. Sometimes people take their visions for granted. They think that it is just an ordinary thing they have seen in a dream. But ladies and gentlemen, what you saw in your dream was not an ordinary thing. What you saw in your dream was God speaking to you. You had the access to the voice of God in your dream. I remember the other day when Joseph, Brother Joseph, made up his mind, you know, to get married to Mary and discovered that Mary had taken seed. He said, I will quietly get rid of this girl. I will not bring her to public disgrace. So he decided and made that decision whilst he was pondering over these things. The Bible says, and God appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, do not be afraid to take this woman to yourself as a wife. For what she has conceived is a holy thing. And she would give birth to a son. If Joseph had not had access to the dreams that he had, he would have denied himself the opportunity to become the only father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes people deny themselves opportunities because they take their dreams for granted. Don't take your dreams and your visions for granted. So I want to teach you now four ways you can position yourself to have access to the voice of God. Four ways. I want to now teach you, bring you to the realm where you begin to position yourself to have access to the voice of the Lord. Are you ready for this one?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for this one? So, number one, if you want to position yourself tonight to have access to the voice of God, the first thing you need to do is to be a lover of God's word. Be a lover of God's word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Anybody who has access to the word has access to God, because God is the word, and the word is God, and the word is God. The word is God. So once you become a lover of God's word, you have become a lover of God, because everybody who loves God's word has positioned himself or herself to hear from God. Because God speaks through us. God speaks to us through his word. So once you want to hear the voice of God, you must be a lover of his word. Be a lover of the word. Read the Bible. I was sharing with some of you that every day I try as much as possible to read 10 chapters of the Bible. I try as much as possible to read 10 chapters of the Bible. And usually, if I am very busy, I will listen. Audio Bible, I will listen to the Bible. I will listen and listen and listen. People of God, be a lover of God's word. As you become a lover of the word of God, position yourself to hear, to have access to the voice of God. Number two, be a lover of his presence. Be a lover of his presence. There are too many busy Christians. They don't have time for God. They have time for the work of God, but they don't have time for the God of the work. So there are too many busy Christians. They are too busy to pray. They are too busy to spend time with God. They are too busy to stay with God. Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. People of God, be a lover of the presence of God. The deep calleth unto the deep. The deep calleth unto the deep. There is something in God that is too deep. And it will take something deep in you to respond to the deep things that is in God. So if you want to have access to the deep things in God, then you yourself, you must have something deep in you. And that comes when you spend time before God. Make time for daily fellowship. Make time for daily fellowship. Yourself and your family, make time to fellowship with God. The more you fellowship with God, the more you become intimate with God. The more you spend time with God, the more you get to know his voice. So the more I spend time, or you spend time with me, when I talk with you on phone, immediately you will know that I am the one speaking. Listen, your father may be far away from you. Your father may not even live close to where you are. But because all over the years, over and over again, you've spent time with your father, you have developed a certain knowing and learning of how your father's voice sounds. So right now, if your father comes to stand behind your window and whispers your name, Abigail or Michael, you will immediately know that this is the voice of my father. So this is as a result of consistent time spent with God. So anytime you really want to position yourself to have access to the voice of God, you must be a lover of his presence. A lover of his presence. Because I spend time with my wife, I know my wife's voice. If she decides to call me with any other number, immediately she says, hello. Even if she plays around, I will catch her. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Not because I am too smart, but because I have spent time over and over with her. I know her voice. There are some of you, when your husband calls you, you cannot even tell because you don't spend time with your husband. Am I talking to somebody? You don't spend time with your wife. You don't spend time with your children. So when your wife calls you, you mention, is this Adwa? Is this Efia? Is this Helena? Is this Celestina? By the time your wife, you are done, you have mentioned over 32 names. And your wife will start fighting with you. Because already you are become, you know, a suspect. Am I talking to somebody? So be a lover of the presence. Be a lover. Dwell in the presence. And one of the things I love about the presence is that it's worship. When you come before the Lord and you put some music on and you tune yourself to some worship and you begin to whisper and just tell God, I love you, I worship you. Worship is one of the easiest ways to enter into his presence. The Bible says, enter his gate with thanksgiving and enter his court with praise. With praise. So as you enter with thanksgiving and enter with praise and worship, you have access even to the voice of God. The third thing you do that gives you access to the voice of God is to be a lover of purity. Be a lover of what? Purity. Be a lover of purity. Anybody that wants to have access even to the voice of God must be somebody who loves purity. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that purity is warfare. Purity is what? Warfare. Sometimes the reason why you cannot live a pure life is because your destiny is under attack. Your destiny is under attack. The enemy is fighting what you carry. The enemy is fighting your destiny. And that is why you are not able to live a pure life. Some of you, you are doing all kinds of things, not because you really want to do it. As Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the things I love to do, I am not able to do them. But the very things I hate, they are the very things that I do. And he says that it is not I, but the sin in me. Purity is warfare. Sometimes the enemy has seen some glory. The enemy has seen some lifting, and he decides to do all kinds of things so that you will not be able to arrive. You will not arrive. You will not achieve what God has for you. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. For they will be filled. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So if you are pure in heart, you will have encounter with the voice of God. If you are pure in heart, you will see God. Your eyes will be open and you will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 5. So anybody who wants to have access to the voice of God, you must walk in purity. You cannot be walking in all kinds of lifestyle, and at the end of the day, you come and say, I want a prophecy. You want prophecy for what? What? You want God to speak to you? Then you must live a pure life, because God is a holy God. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, sir. Oh, am I talking to somebody? Yes, sir. Number four is to be a lover of a good environment. Be a lover of a good environment. When I say good environment, one of the things I have discovered over the years is that God loves a certain environment. You see, God is everywhere, but God does not manifest everywhere. Even though God is everywhere, we call it the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere. He's here, he's in your room, he's in your car. But God does not manifest himself everywhere. There is a certain environment which is conducive for the manifestation of God. So, you see, if you want to have, you know, a good, there is a certain environment for sex. There is a certain environment for, you know, for preaching of the word. There is a certain environment for all kinds of things. You cannot say that, for example, your husband has just lost his father and mother. And then you go to her, and the same day that your husband has lost the father and the mother, you go to him and say, baby, let us produce babies. I want us to produce babies. I want twins. Give me twins. If you are not careful, your husband will knock you. He will give you a knock on the head and say, hey, what are you talking about? You see, because it is not a good environment. If you want to hear the voice of God, there is a certain environment you must create. And I'm talking about a calm environment, a peaceful environment, an environment of love, an environment of worship. If you create such an environment, you have access to the voice of God. Oh my God. Anytime I have a peaceful environment, I prophesy easily. Anytime I have a calm environment, I see easily, I see and I hear easily. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. So beginning from today, if you really and really want to have access to the voice of God, then be a lover of a good environment. There are some of you, you quarrel with everybody. At the end of the day, you want God to speak to you. Some of you too, you are not talking with many people in your office. A lot of things are happening. Your environment is not good. And sometimes, some of us too, our phones disturb us. Social media disturbs us. Our environment is not good. If you really want to have the access to the voice of God, then you must have create your environment. Create your own environment. When you come to my house, where I am here, maybe watching me all over, this is a room I have decided to create. It's a room that did not exist. I created this room because I want an environment when I enter, I know that it is business time. When I enter, I know it is meditation. When I enter, I know it is a good environment to have access to the voice of God. And anybody that really wants to have encounter, immediately you enter this room, angels are all over the place. And you must hear the voice of God. You understand what I'm saying? So you must be a lover of a good environment. My God. My God. Now, let me talk to you about the power of prophecy. The power of prophecy. I'll just tell you five things. The power of prophecy. Number one, prophecy is God's mind through the lips of humanity. Prophecy is the mind of God, but it is delivered through the lips of a human being. That is one of the powers. Because not everything that is delivered through the lips comes from God's mind. A lot of things are delivered from the lips of men, but it does not come from the source of the mind of God. So one of the powers that makes prophecy so powerful is that it is originated from the mind of God, but it is delivered through the lips of humanity. Number two, prophecy is as potent as God. Prophecy is as potent as what? As God. You know that God is all powerful. God can do everything. In the same way, anytime prophecy is given, understand that it is not human beings talking. It is God speaking. And because God is the one speaking, the same power that God has, the prophecy comes in the same frequency of the power that is released. This is why in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. How did the light come? If the light came because the same power God has to create light, the same power was released over the words he spoke. So the words were traveling on the frequency of the power of God. And so by the time the words were delivered, light from nowhere appeared. Why? Because prophecy is as potent as God. Number three, prophecy releases the power to be and the power to do. Prophecy releases the power to be and the power to do. Anytime you receive a prophetic word, you have received the power to become the word and the power to do the word. So when Mary received the prophetic word that although you have not seen the nakedness of a man before, you are going to conceive and give birth to a son. Mary did not have the ability to become that word. But because it was a prophetic word from God, immediately she received the word. She received the power to become the word and the power to do the word. So although Mary said it cannot happen, but because it was prophecy, immediately the Bible said that Mary said, "How can this be?" And the angel said, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." You see, and you will conceive. So anytime you receive a prophetic word, the power to become the word comes on you. And the power to behave or to manifest or to do the word also comes. So maybe God said that you are going to become a millionaire. The power to become a millionaire has come upon you. Amen. Maybe God said your sister is going to conceive. The power to conceive has come upon her. Today I received a testimony. One of our sisters who joined this meeting sent me a message and said, "Man of God, it has happened."
It has happened.
That's what has happened. She said, "My sister, you prophesied to my sister that she will conceive." I don't know. I think there was a timeline. He said that my sister has conceived. My sister has conceived. Those of you who followed us on the prophetic time, you realize that this prophetic word came. We spoke to her and the Lord said, "You have a sister who is this. And he said that your sister will conceive within 2 or 3 months. He said, "Pastor, it has happened. My sister has conceived to the glory of God." Oh my God. Oh my God. So she did not have the ability to conceive. She has been married for a while. But immediately prophecy comes. It comes to give you the power to become the word and the power to do the word. So if you are here tonight and you have ever received any prophecy directly from God in your dream, in your vision, or through prophecy from any man of God, I am here to tell you that that prophecy is not dead. I declare over you the power to become the word and the power to manifest the word has been released over your life.
Amen.
Number four, prophecy enables you to prepare. Anytime you receive a prophecy, it positions you to prepare for the manifestation of the word. So if your prophecy comes that you are going to become a lawyer, the greatest lawyer we have ever seen in Ghana, what it means is that it gives you an opportunity. It affords you the time to prepare yourself so that you become that great lawyer. So during that time, what do? You start preparing. You start reading books. You start enrolling at the school of law and doing all the things that lawyers do. That means that you are preparing yourself. When God says that you are going to become a great prophet, it affords you the time to prepare. So prophecy enables preparation. It enables you to prepare. Some of you have received prophecies. You have not prepared for the prophecy because you are sitting down and thinking that God will let the heavens open, your ceiling will open, and the prophecy will drop like that. It doesn't happen that way. Anytime you receive a prophecy, you must prepare for the manifestation of the prophecy. Have you received a prophecy you are going to give birth? Go and look for your baby items. Baby items, and buy them and stock them. What are you talking about? I said, what are you talking about?
You people are not here.
Now, prophecy also shifts you into the season of the word. Anytime you receive a prophecy, you are shifted into the season of the word. You see, immediately you receive a prophecy that you are about to get pregnant, it means that soon and very soon, the season for pregnancy is around.
Oh my God.
When you receive a prophecy, you see, every fruit has a season. There is a season where mango is in abundance. There is a season where that mango is scarce. Now, anytime you receive a prophecy, it means that God has ushered you into the season of the word. So, where prophecy prepares, pushes people into seasons. So, if you receive a prophetic word that money is coming, it means that money is around. Money is around. It means that money is around. If you receive a prophetic word that you are going to get a car, it means that somebody is thinking about giving you a car. Somebody is thinking about buying it. You have been ushered into the season of the word. Oh my God. Kataba. Now, this is 10. I want to teach you 5 ways. You see, sometimes there are people when you're there, you are prophesying to them. They don't even know how to receive the prophecy. They just look at you. I don't blame them. Some of us, because of our background and because of where we are coming from, there are things we have learned over the years. And some people too, they have not been exposed to some of these things. So it needs teachings letter by letter. But listen, people of God, this thing about the prophetic, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't need, the Bible said, do not despise prophecy. Don't let anybody talk you out of the prophetic. Don't let anybody deceive you that this prophetic is evil. It is not demonic. It is not demonic. The prophetic is not from the devil. It is from God. As long as we are applying wisdom and saying exactly what God is saying, it means that you are safe. Now, I want you to position yourself because there are 5 ways you need to receive. You see, when somebody is prophesying to you, there is a way you receive the word. There is a way. There are people, they are not ready to receive the word. One day, my father shared with me a testimony when he was prophesying to a certain woman that God is about to give you a baby. Then, immediately, he said to the woman, "Woman, God is about to give you a baby." She was just looking. Then somebody from the back shouted, "I receive it!" The woman jumped and shouted, "I receive it." Then the prophet went to the woman and said, "Because you said I receive it, the Lord said you will be the first to receive this prophetic word." Then it happened that the woman who said I receive it, God, she was trusting God for maybe for a number of years. Now she received the ability, she conceived, she got pregnant and gave birth. 1 year later, before the one who was being prophesied to also received, got pregnant. So sometimes your attitude when we are prophesying to you is very important. There are people when you are prophesying to them, it's as if you are there. And there are some people too who join some of these meetings. They are here to watch and observe and go and tell people. The more you criticize, the more we prophesy. So I'm teaching you 5 ways you must position you how to receive prophecy. Number one, receive the prophetic word with excitement. When we are prophesying, to be excited. Receive the word with excitement. Number two, receive the word with faith. Receive the word with faith. So whatever we are telling you, it may not look like you. You see, sometimes prophecy does not look like you. Because if you are married and you have not seen a man's nakedness before and you are told that you become pregnant, you will doubt it. You see, you will doubt it. So receive the word with faith. Mary said, even though I don't believe this one, but I still believe, let it be unto me according to thy word. That is faith. So when you are being prophesied, you receive the word with excitement, receive the word with faith. Number three, receive the word with sacrifice. Receive the word with sacrifice. Sometimes after receiving the word, you must sacrifice. You must sacrifice. I remember this one, I've not told my wife. I entered a certain church recently. And, you know, okay, this is not even recent. I think some time ago, I received a word. I saw a vision about a certain woman of God. So I woke up and I picked some money. No, some of us, we are crazy. We are the best animal. I picked some money, about 2,000 cedis. And I went to sow it. It was not because I have money. I went to sow this money into the life of the woman of God because of what I saw. And I sowed this seed for my wife and for my daughter. I sowed the seed for my wife and my daughter. I didn't tell them. This is the first time I'm telling. I sowed the seed and I said, God, this thing I'm seeing in my vision, this thing I'm seeing even in the life of this woman, do the same thing in the life of my wife and my daughter. Sometimes when you receive a prophetic word, you must sacrifice for the word. Sacrifice. And recently, there was another one, and I picked another seed. A heavy one. More than twice what I sowed earlier. Then I went to sow it as a seed, as a sacrifice. Because I know what sacrifice can do. I know what sacrifice can do. So sometimes you receive the word with excitement. You receive with faith. You receive with sacrifice. Number four, receive the word by documenting it. That is the last but one. After that, we are moving to another realm. Receive the word by what? By documenting it. By documenting the word. I learned from one of my father, in fact, from my father, that every important thing in this world is documented. Every important is documented. If you are doing business with somebody and it's a very important business, it is documented. It is called contract. If you are going to school and it is a very important school, you buy admission form. And then at the end of the day, they will give you a document. That document is called certificate. It is documented. It shows that indeed you attended the school. If they give birth to you, they give you a birth certificate, document. If somebody dies, they give the person a death certificate. Every important thing in this world is documented. When we prophesy to you, you don't document it. It means that you don't have any respect for God. When you go to the lecture hall, and your teacher, a human being. Let me not say some things. If you go to the lecture hall, a human being, you are able to pick pen, tablet, laptop, and you document things that he's saying. How much more God? God is speaking to you. God speaks to you in a dream, in a vision, through a word of prophecy, through a man of God, and you don't document. It tells you that you have no honor and respect for the word of God. Prophecy must be received by documenting it. And the last one, prophecy, you receive the word, prophetic word, by turning it into a prayer topic. Turn the prophecy into prayer topic. That is how to receive the word. After you have received the word, that is the final thing. You turn the prophecy into a prayer topic. So what do? You don't go and sleep. But you pray, my God. You pray and pray and pray.
until the word comes to pass. My God, this is what I call the potency of the prophetic. I believe that the few things I've shared with you tonight, you have been blessed in a special way, and the Lord will give you a miracle.
Speaking to my life, I am a living sacrifice. Your word says, live and not die. Oh Lord, speaking to my life. Oh
Father, we thank you of Jesus. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. People of God, I don't know what your expectations are this week, but the Lord surely has something to do for us. And as I said, it is a week where we are going to have a lot of it has happened. A lot of it has happened. So you are going to have a lot of testimonies. That which you dreamt of, that which you prayed for, God will cause it to happen. We want to pray based on the word. Hallelujah. Over here, we pray based on the word. So in the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to give you a brief, exhortation. And then we will stand on that word and pray. Amen. And stand on the word and pray. So pick your Bibles wherever you are. Pick your Bibles right now. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. I want you to just follow. When you open, follow me. We'll pick some readings and then we will continue from there. So let's read 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 20. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 20. If somebody can post that scripture in our chat, that would be very good. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 20. All right. The Bible says, I'm reading from the NIV. The Bible said, the next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. The next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. So the next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, it had happened. Water was flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. No testimony about land flowing with water. Let me give you a background how it happened. Many years ago, you know that when it comes to Israel, we have Samaria, we have Judah. And in Samaria, there was a king who was called Ahab. When Ahab died he left, his son became the king. His son was called Joram. Now, when Joram came to be, he became the king of Samaria, he did a lot of bad things. Of course, the bad things were not up to what his father did, but he did some bad things as well. The guy wanted to do this also at the same time. So when the father was alive, there was a certain country called Moab that was supposed to pay, some tributes to the people of Samaria.
So the Moabites were supposed to pay 100,000 sheep or 100,000 lambs and then 100,000 rams. They were supposed to pay this tribute to the king of Samaria, who was called Joram. But along the line, after Ahab had died, the king of Moab felt that he could, you know, deceive the system. And so he stopped paying the tribute to Samaria. He rebelled. Because of this rebellion, Joram, the king of Samaria, decided to go and fight the Moabites and then attack them for disobeying the tribute and the system that was already in place. So to do this, he called for the king of Judah, who was called Jehoshaphat, because the two of them together were the people of God. So Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, joined Joram, the king of Samaria, and then they decided to go and attack the Moabites. Then when they were going, they realized that they will use a certain route. One of the routes they will use was through a certain nation called Edom. So they said they will also talk to the king of Edom to join them so that they will go and attack the Moabites. So they became three kings against one king. Now, when they went, to every one of them came with their armies, their horses. You can imagine many, many human beings on board. They came together to go and wage war against the Moabites. Now, when they started their journey, for 7 good days, they were going and going and going and roaming about. Somewhere, somehow, by the time they had spent 7 days on that trip, they realized that they did not have water anymore. In fact, all the water that they were drinking, the soldiers were drinking, it got finished. Even the water for the horses, the animals, also got finished. In fact, everything got finished, and they did not know what to do. So Jehoshaphat said, "Is there any prophet around this area making an inquiry?" Then somebody said to him, "There is a certain prophet around this place. His name is called Elisha, the son of Shaphat. This man used to serve Elijah. In fact, he was the personal assistant to the Elijah, the prophet, who has already gone. So let us go to him. Maybe the word of God is with him." Then Jehoshaphat led the entourage, and they came to the prophet. And because of the respect Elisha had for Jehoshaphat, the Bible said he called forth a minstrel, that "Bring me a minstrel, let them play the instrument." And as the instrument was played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and Elisha spoke the word of God. Elisha declared, "Thou sayeth the Lord, thou sayeth the Lord." Elisha spoke, prophesied what was saying. And what did Elisha say? Elisha said only 2 things. Number one, this is what Elisha said. When you read the verse number 14, when you read the verse number 14 downwards to 16, Elisha said, "This is what the Lord says, I will fill this valley with pool of water. I will fill this valley with pools of water. For thus saith the Lord, you will neither see wind nor rain, but this valley will be filled with water. You and your cattle and your animals will drink, for this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord." And number two, he said that the Lord would deliver Moab, your enemies, into your hand. Now, that is why we read verse 20. The Bible said that the next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, because every morning when they wake up, they offer sacrifice unto the Lord. So by the time they were preparing to go and offer sacrifice to the Lord, the Bible said that it had happened that water was flowing from the direction of Edom, and the whole land and valley was filled with water. My God, what does it mean? You see, by nature, every man is designed to be limited. Since the day of creation, since the day man or Adam fell, by nature, man is designed to be limited. You see, everything we depend on in this life is limited. You understand? The soldiers were very strong, and they carried water with them. But some way, somehow, by the seventh day, the water was finished. So it means that everything we depend on is limited. You see, by design, by default, our humanity is limited. No matter how powerful, how strong you are, there comes a time what you depend on will finish. Our bodies are limited. Our health is limited. Our sense of survival generally limited. Do you understand me? So at the end of the seventh day, everything they depended on for life was finished. This is why we need a strong backup. We need a strong backup, something that is higher than man, something that is higher than the natural, which we call the supernatural. We need that because it is only that one which can sustain us as a backup whenever the turn on begin to fail us. You understand? So the prophet said, it shall neither rain, neither shall it be windy, but there shall be water. It means that the supernatural is not subject to the law of nature. The supernatural does not subject to natural law. The supernatural is not subjected to protocol. It breaks protocol. The supernatural breaks protocol. The supernatural breaks natural law. The supernatural does not, you know, is not a victim of law and nature. It is able to break protocol and cause things to happen. I am here to tell somebody, the prophet said, it shall neither rain, neither shall it be windy, but there shall be water. What does it mean? Ordinarily or naturally, water will only come when it rains. When it rains, then water will come. When it rains, then our valley shall be filled. But the prophet said, it shall neither be windy nor shall it rain, yet the water will be available by tomorrow morning. What a prophetic word. And the Bible said, it happened, it came to happen. It happened exactly as the prophet said. It happened that by the next morning, the valley was filled with water. What the people didn't know was that our God is an expert of causing waters to come forth when there is no rain. You see, they forgot that in the days of Abraham and Sarah and his servant Hagar, when they were in the desert and coming from tests, God caused waters to gush out from the desert. Waters gushed out from the ground, and it supplied water to the thirsty woman, mother, and her son. And life was spared, and they did not die, but they lived. They forgot that some time ago in the history of Moses, a time came when the Israelites were the same people, when they were in the desert, and they did not have water to drink. God caused water to gush out from the rocks. So The rocks supplied water to them. This morning, I am speaking to you on what I've entitled Supernatural Supply. Supernatural Supply. I don't know what you are looking for, but sometimes once we need something, we look at that thing where it is coming from. We begin to look at where the thing will come from. So somebody needs money and they look at their uncle. Somebody needs money, they look at their boss. Somebody needs money and they look at where they think that thing will come from. So when the soldiers wanted water, they were expecting that the water would come from above, from the rains. But they forgot that God can cause water to come from below. So whilst they were looking at above, God was looking at below. Whilst they were looking above, God was looking below. Because our God, you see, and looking below, below and above is opposite. Below and above is opposite, directly opposite. It means that God can cause things to happen even beyond what we expect. Where you are thinking that your miracle will come from, God can use another avenue. So this is why we need to leave the house to God and trust God that once God has said it, God can cause it to happen. So ladies and gentlemen, this morning, this is what I just want to share with you. God is speaking to all of us that he can cause waters to gush out from below. Don't always be looking above, because God can cause it to come from below. Are we together? So, some people think that, oh, as for this family, from the way we are seeing things, this is the one who can give us, who can take care of the family. But God can pick below and bring the person up. I don't know whether I'm talking to somebody. People think that in the family, because this one has attended university, has a PhD, he's called a professor, he's the one, only one, who can really be of relief and help the rest of the family. But I'm telling you that don't only look above. Don't look above. You will not see wind, you will not see rain. God can pick somebody from below and cause the one below to rise up and use the person for things. I am here to tell somebody today that you shall neither see wind nor rain. We don't know how it will happen, but what we know is that it shall surely happen. Now, finally, before I end and we pray, how did the miracle happen? How did it happen? Remember that the prophet said, "That saith the Lord, you shall neither see wind nor rain, but the valley shall be filled with water." So it means that the source of this miracle was the word. The word of God that was spoken was the source of the testimony and the miracle. As long as we hold on to the word will produce miracles, signs, and wonders in our lives. This morning, this is the word of God to somebody listening to me. What are you thanking God for? What are you believing God for? The Lord said I should tell you that this week, in fact, this day, today, if you hold on to his word, the God of possibilities shall cause things to happen. Where everybody say the door is closed, God can cause doors to open. Where everybody say you are not qualified, God can cause you to be qualified. Where everybody says you are too weak and you are too small, you are too young, God can use the younger things to even do mighty things. Where everybody says you don't have the money and everything around shows that there is no money, there is no wind, there is no rain, how can he get water? But the Lord said, where there is no way, he is the God that can make a way where there is no way. I am here to tell somebody that when it comes to supernatural supply, God does not look at protocol. God does not look at logic. God does not look at system. He is the God who can supply our needs without following logic. He is the God who can supply our needs without following protocol. He is the only one who breaks protocol yet keeps order. He's the only God that breaks protocol but does not cause disorder. What a God we serve. And so this morning, I want to charge you. I want to encourage you. I want to inspire you by the word of the Lord that don't give up. Our God is still a worker of miracles. He is still in the business of supplying our needs supernaturally. What are you in need of? What is your need? What are you trusting God for? This morning, as we are about to pray, there will be a miracle. There will be a testimony. There will be a miracle. By the time you wake up tomorrow morning, you will neither see wind, you will not see rain, but the valley shall be filled with water. By tomorrow morning, 12 hours from now, you will see that the Lord has caused that miracle to happen. The Lord has caused that testimony to happen. The Lord has caused that breakthrough to happen. The Lord has caused that dream to manifest. It shall happen exactly as the Lord has said. Hallelujah. I declare over your life, as the Lord did for the people of Israel, so I declare over you, as you begin, I declare, whatever you are trusting God for, whatever you need, may God cause a supply to be made in the name of Jesus. May God cause a supernatural supply in the name of Jesus. Are you trusting God for a breakthrough, for an open heavens, for a testimony, for a miracle? I decree and declare, as we have prayed, so shall your miracle appear. So shall your breakthrough appear. So shall your miracle appear. I speak over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. As we begin this day, I release your breakthrough. Let there be supernatural supply. Supply for every need. Supply for your healing. Healing for your body. Financial miracles. Breakthroughs everywhere. Receive the anointing to preach the word and the power, the oil for ministry in the name of Jesus. Oh, Makoli Bahaya, declare over your life, because you have prayed, expect a breakthrough. Because you have prayed, it shall happen, that you will give a testimony by tomorrow morning, a 24-hour miracle. The next morning, they had received a breakthrough. I declare over your life, receive a 24-hour miracle. Receive a 24-hour breakthrough. Receive a 24-hour miracle. Receive a 24-hour breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Give you honor and glory.
Speaking to you.